Sunday the 28th of January 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Yahweh. Sermon title, Yahweh Rapha Healer. Bible reading, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. Talk by Roger Whip.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, beginning at verse 22. The waters of Marah and Elim. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at this series, thinking more about your name, Yahweh, Lord, it's my prayer that all of us, including me, will have a deeper understanding about your power and your majesty. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. About 18 years ago, I went on a mission to Albania. And at the time, it was considered to be the poorest country in Europe. Although vastly different to some of my trips abroad, where Meg and I had stayed in lovely hotels and wined and dined in great restaurants. However, it was an amazing and a very humbling experience. I stayed with several different Albanian families, and although they had very little in the way of luxuries or food, what they did have, they were willing to share. Water was rationed to 1 hour a day, and depending on which town you lived in, that dictated the hour that you received it. So at the given hour, they would fill up all their bath, their pots and their pans to enable them to have a water supply throughout the day till the next hour. And when you took a shower during that allotted hour, the water seemed to smell, and I was never really convinced that I was cleaner afterwards. However, due to the heat, it did at least cool me down. And as for drinking it, well, forget it. We were warned before we went to buy only sparkling water. Why? Well, it was harder for anyone to refill empty bottles with ordinary tap water. And it was a common sight to see Albanians, especially some of the children, wandering around with bags of empty bottles. No, not environmentalists, but to sell them to sort of Del Boy type characters who was trying to fleece the tourists, making out it was genuine bottled water. Have you ever considered how much we take things for granted? Here in the UK, we expect 24/7 to turn on the tap and to get clean drinking water, or to flick the switch and get electricity. Not so in many places, including Albania, and certainly in the desert of Shur, as mentioned in our reading this morning. Yahweh Rapha, just one of many God's titles. And he promises that if the people obeyed him, they would be free from the diseases that plagued the Egyptians. Little did they know that many of the moral and hygiene laws he later gave them were designed to keep them free from sickness. For example, following God's law against prostitution would keep them free from venereal disease. Now, far from being a killjoy, God's laws are for us, and they're often designed to keep us from harm. Us men and women are quite complex beings, really. Now, our physical, emotional, and spiritual lives are intertwined. Modern medicine is now acknowledging what these laws assumed. Now, if we want God to care for us, we need to submit to his direction for living and take some responsibility for our own well-being. You know, it dawned on me about 3 years ago, some of you may remember, I bloomed up to 23 and a half stone. And I had that little voice of God say to me, Roger, you're not doing yourself any favours, as well as my GP, who was a great source of encouragement. I was able to lose 6 stone in weight. And how many people do you know that have got relatives that died of lung cancer and yet they still go and buy 20 to 40 fags a day? Do you see what I mean? So does this mean that if we live a super-duper, God-centred life, we'll never suffer? I'm sorry to say, the answer is no. As Christians, we're not exempt from suffering. If that were so, instead of churches closing down at an alarming rate, there'd be new ones opening up rapidly to cope with the demand. See, God never gave us Jesus as a kind of a blackmailer or an enforcer. We are saved through grace, mercy, and faith in Jesus. Not a false promise of an easy life without any problems. When I first came to St. Chad's about 16 years ago, I remember speaking to a husband of a lady that used to be in the fellowship here, and he asked that question, you know, the one that many will ask. If there is a God who loves us, why there must be so suffering and illness? Maybe the question you've asked. I've certainly asked it in the past. Now, knowing that he was heavily into cars, I asked him to name the finest and most reliable car ever made. And after thinking about it, he said, well, I guess it has to be a Rolls Royce. And although I've never owned one, I have driven one. And I had to agree. I then went on to mention that we humans are the Rolls Royces of God's creation. The Bible tells us, in the beginning, we were made perfect and we were given dominion over all creatures. However, all extremely rare, even Rolls Royces can break down. Just like we can. Today we're focusing on Yahweh Rapha. And in Strong's Bible concordance, it shows that it's used 67 times in the scriptures. And Rapha means not only to heal and cure, but also for repair and mend or restore. Always the connotation with the word is to bring something of life-giving. For example, in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah repairs the life-giving altar for the people to bring them back to God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where God promises to restore the land to produce life-giving food. How many of you have ever seen a Rolls Royce broken down or on the back of a tow truck? I thought so. I certainly haven't. It doesn't seem as any of you have either. And I doubt if many of us ever will. Not only do they rarely break down, but if they do, they have a special recovery vehicle, which is sent. It's like a container vehicle. And they put the car in there so nobody can actually see that it is faulty. And then they whisk it off to the repair shop. Likewise, too often our fallen world of much pain and suffering often hides the goodness of God's provision and healing. Now, if we truly believe that God is the God of all creation, and I hope you do, doesn't it make sense that he would want to repair, mend, and restore whenever possible? I ask this question, where is our first port of call when we have a problem? A GP? Physio? Psychiatrist? A&E department? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't use them. Now, as God, apart from his direct intervention, he has many ways and uses many parts of his creation in the healing process. This not only includes other humans, but tangible things like wood in our reading. And did you realise that aspirin originated from the bark of the willow tree? However well-meaning medical staff are, they can make mistakes. For example, here are some genuine excerpts from doctors' hospital notes. Patient has chest pain if she lies on her left side for over a year. On the second day, the knee was better, and on the third day, it disappeared. The patient is tearful and crying constantly. She also appears to be depressed. The patient has been depressed since he began seeing me in 1993. Discharge status. Alive, but without my permission. Healthy, appearing, decrepit 69-year-old male, mentally alert, but forgetful. Sounds a bit like me. The patient refused autopsy. The patient has no previous history of suicides. Patient has left white blood cells at another hospital. It's clever, isn't it? Patient's medical history has been remarkably insignificant, with only a 40-pound weight gain in the last 3 days. She is numb from her toes down. While in A&E, she was examined, x-rated and sent home. Occasional, constant, infrequent headaches. Patient was alert and unresponsive. And I love this one. I'm talking at URC on this, and I've got an overhead with a picture of this. Rectal examination reveals a normal-sized thyroid. For those that are not medically inclined, the thyroid's up here, okay? She has no rigors or shaking chills, but her husband states she was very hot in bed last night. Patient has 2 teenage children, but no other abnormalities. Now, like these doctors' notes, we can sometimes be confused or we can misinterpret the voice of God. I believe that God never gets it wrong or tries to confuse us. He always hears our prayers, but they're not always answered how or when we would expect. God's timing is often so different from our own. Now, I'm sorry if some of you may have heard this story before, but I think it's relevant and worth repeating. About 25 years ago, Meg and I were part of the leadership in the church plant held in the school. And during the summer holidays, we weren't allowed to use the school, so we had to go back to the main church that had commissioned us to do the outreach. And we went back one Sunday, and the vicar said at the end of the morning service, he was going to pray for people either with cancer or with the fear of cancer. And he asked Maggie and I if we would be part of the prayer ministry team at the end of the service. And he had 4 buckets of water. You can probably see the theme of water throughout this talk. And he had 4 couples go up and he prayed over these buckets of water. And at the end, as we prayed with people, we were to sprinkle them with this blessed water as we prayed with them. A lady came up to Maggie and I, who we didn't know. She's aged about 60. And she said, the doctors have just given me 3 weeks to live. I have cancer. Sometimes prayer ministry can be very difficult. Anyway, we prayed with her that she would know the peace of the Lord and for her healing. We did pray for a miracle, but we also prayed that, you know, God would give her that peace that passes all human understanding. Now, unknown to Maggie and I, she was the mother of a woman who worshipped at the church, but because Maggie and I normally worshipped at the church plant, we didn't know her. Now, soon after that, Maggie and I changed churches and we moved away. 18 months later, to my surprise, I received a phone call from a woman who explained that her mother was the woman that we prayed for. And although only given weeks to live at the time, she was still alive. And she requested that Maggie and I would pay a visit to her mother, which we gladly did. The woman was so pleased to meet us again, she explained that although she'd been in remission for 18 months, she now realised that her death was imminent. She explained that in that 18 months extension of her life, not only did she have time to sort out some family issues, but also to sort out her relationship with God. In her own words, she told me that she was now ready and prepared to die, and in fact was looking forward to going to heaven. And as I said, well, how would you like us to pray for you? And she said, well, I don't really want to pray for healing because I've prepared myself to go to heaven. She said, what I want prayer for is that I will not die over the Christmas period, because Christmas was only 2 weeks away, because it would spoil all her family's Christmas. She died on the 27th of December. You know, although some of us will find this hard to listen to, I believe that death can be part of Yahweh Rapha's healing process. I know my sister found it very hard to accept that I was praying for my mother's death, because she'd been suffering with Alzheimer's for 8 years, and she was in her 80s. This life that we live is so flawed that one day we will all die. Creation is groaning, and so is humanity. But take comfort from this fact. Christ's death and resurrection shows us clearly that God's promise will be fulfilled, and that a day is coming where there'll be no more death, no more crying, mourning or pain, because this world will be renewed. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to cry out to God, to call for heaven to be here on earth and for God's will to be done. That's part of our Lord's Prayer, isn't it? You know, God is a living God. And he says, Yahweh, I am who I am. And he does step into his creation. And yes, miracles can still happen. As you know, I know that from experience. Jesus, as part of the Trinity of God, also has many titles. One of which is the River of Life. One of our previous sermon series, which we had it, didn't we, based on River of Life. And in John 7, verse 38, it says this, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John 4, 14, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. You know, life isn't always easy. There will be ups and downs. But take heart, especially when we feel it difficult to keep our heads above the water. Yahweh Rapha has provided Jesus as our lifeguard. If we place our trust in him, we will never drown. Amen.